Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, my name is Mertis Lobeiro. I am the CEO and founder of AGM Tech Solutions.
Mertis, thanks so much for making time joining us on the Ivy Podcast today on a Monday morning. Before we dive in and talk about your current company, what are you building, the mission, and all of that great stuff, which I'm very excited about, give us a thumbnail version of your career to date.
Okay, sure. So I moved to the United States when I was 21 years old. I sat down with my parents in Brazil and I told them that I wanted to pursue the American dream. You know, when you live in a different country, you hear these amazing stories about how great this country really is. And with their blessing, I moved here. I didn't speak one word of English. I learned it on my own and I came here to pursue a dream. And I knew that if I worked really, really hard, I could become somebody. I could make something out of myself. I remember when I was leaving Brazil, one of my cousins said to me, are you ready to, you know, to wash dishes, to start, you know, to do whatever it takes? And I said, I am. So for the first 5 years in this country, I did, you know, a lot of the humble jobs that every immigrant really, when they come here, you know, I came to go to school as well. But I started doing house cleaning, cleaning restaurants and, you know, waitressing for the first 5 years until finally, I think around my fourth, fifth year, my English, you know, became really, really well, got better. And then I got my first job in corporate America, starting doing some sales and so forth. In 2008, I moved into the staffing industry, fell on, you know, to the staffing industry, which I am very, very passionate about, became highly successful working for, you know, a large company, managing large clients. And then in 2018, I saw a gap in the market to start my own organization, my own company, a women-owned. And in 2018 is when I started AGM Tech Solutions.
Well, that's super exciting and relatable on so many levels. You know, being an immigrant myself as well, I can only imagine everything that you have gone through, and congrats on all the success with AGM Solutions and everything that you guys are building right now. So tell me a little bit more about the company mission. What differentiates you from all other companies out there, and what do you enjoy the most about it?
Sure. You know, we when I started this company, again, it was based on primarily my passion. I am very, very passionate about the world of work. I've always taken a very, very consultative approach to help our clients, to manage our clients, to service our clients with the best service that we can by providing people who truly impacts their business and their projects. And, you know, I saw the need in the marketplace, not to mention there aren't a lot of women-owned and minority-owned, like a Latina, Hispanic-owned company. That was the first goal, was that, you know, to service our clients in the way that I thought they needed the most, but also to take, you know, a huge leap of faith and maximize in this space where I saw that there were, you know, there were more of need of the represented in this space. So the mission is for us to continue to help our clients, to sit with them, to understand their needs. We impact lives here every day, John, by presenting opportunities to them, by providing jobs for them. We meet with clients where they're having daily challenges, building, innovating, building projects. And we come together and we become an extension of who they are, because it's very important that we're not just the vendor, but we truly become a partner. In many ways, we become friends with our clients. From a company perspective, inside here, I love to bring people who have a vision and is also interested in growing this company with me. I started this company at the end of 2018. So it's less than 3 years and we're doing about $25 million in revenue already. And it goes to, the credit goes entirely to my team. I think it's so important that when you start a company, you find people who embrace your vision, who wants to go, you know, in the direction that you're going. I think, you know, making that clear, communicating that with your team so that they bring the passion, so they understand your objectives and how you want to grow. You can't get up there by yourself, right? Like if you're a leader and you want to go places, you need people who can walk with you and continue to climb that ladder with you. So it, for me, it's also enabling, it's facilitating, creating an environment of, you know, a space where people feel like they're heard, they're valued. And that's what we're doing here. So really exciting work. Our team is fantastic. They love what they do. So yeah.
Well, that's super exciting and definitely congrats on all the success in such a short period of time, especially, you know, starting out right before the COVID hit and all of the, you know, the things that we had gone through. Tell us a little bit about that experience, you know, as you started the company, you were growing and then the pandemic hit. What type of adjustments did you have to make and what are some of the recommendations that, you know, really helped you through that particular period?
Yeah, great question. So it was definitely scary, right? I had never been through a pandemic before. And I think it was for many leaders in this space, it was, you know, it was nothing that we expected, right? It was unprecedented. But it was a challenge that I think as a team, we were willing to go through it. And I think just like anything, right? Everything starts at the top. Everything starts with the leader. Communication. We communicated extensively with our team about our intentions, about our goals and what we're going through, being realistic with them. I think also made them feel comfortable. I think that at the end of the day, we knew we had a mission. And although the pandemic, we didn't know what was going to happen in the marketplace. If you are familiar with, you know, with the staffing world, you could have a client in the, you know, let's say you have a major client in the airline space, right? Delta, all those companies were, you know, critically impacted by it. If I had, you know, a lot of those clients, I could have gone bankrupt, you know, completely bankrupt because of the line of business that we were in. So thankfully we weren't, but at the end of the day, when you're going through something so unprecedented like that, you have to stay focused on what moves the needle. For us was to continue to serve our clients, even though they had no needs, even though like we went from having a ton of business and day two, we had no business. It completely died, right? For many businesses across the country. We continue to stay in touch with our clients. We continue to stay in touch with our consultants, the ones that we maintained. We continue to do the right things because we knew that at some point the business would return. And I think continue to stay focused on what moves the needle, what makes your business go forward, because we knew it was going to come back. It was just a matter of time. And also being engaged and very honest with your team so they understand what's going on within your organization.
Right. Absolutely. Those are definitely great recommendations. So with, you know, very interesting market that we're all dealing with these days, such a candidate driven environment with a lot of opportunities for a lot of, you know, different sectors. You specialize in technology and IT, you know, and that's very unique space where, which I'm very much part of, being a technologist most of my career. And so the other element of challenge that we're all dealing with these days is that kind of that war on retention, where the companies, you know, some succeed in the space, some are still trying to figure things out. With you be playing on both sides of the spectrum, how do you help your companies retain the top talent? What are some of the recommendations and strategies that really help them succeed in this particular space?
Right. So I think that, you know, foremost, engagement is so important these days. It's so important that you stay engaged and you create a program where you show in the first, you know, 30 days how you were engaged with that employee, right? Treating them as a real person, knowing what interests them at the moment that they come in your organization. Like you said, there's such a competitive market. You know, it's such a competitive landscape right now. There is a talent of war. Companies are you know, hiring like crazy right now. But there's also the candidates also realize, hey, there's a ton of opportunities here for me. And unless you show them and you stay engaged with them, it's going to be very hard for you to maintain those candidates. Also for us, you know, as we provide candidates to our clients, it's very important for us to have a consultant care program. As you saw on my LinkedIn, we won, you know, the CEO, the first CEO award of Glassdoor for 2021. And that truly goes to show you of, you know, the way that we treat our candidates here from a client, from a candidate experience perspective. It's important for us when we place a consultant that they stay and complete their assignments. So I think for companies, staffing companies, if you don't have a consultant care program in place, invest in that, invest in tools there will enable you to stay in touch with, you know, with your consultants from week one, from week two, from 30 days, doing that every 30 days check-in. But from a company perspective, especially now where there's such a hybrid of work, right, remote work, you have to go above, you have to go the extra mile to show your employees, your organization, that they're a part of your culture, that you stay engaged, bring them to the table and over communicate with them so that they're not feeling isolated in one area or the other. So engagement, I think by far is how you're going to retain and show them how valuable you are, they are in this marketplace.
Right, right. Absolutely. I love these recommendations. Seems so simple, but oftentimes overlooked. The other side of the spectrum, which I'm very interested in, and as you represent both the candidate and the hiring manager of this equation, when it comes to interviewing, it's a very difficult space. And I'm yet to see anybody be really, really good consistently at that, because it's such a, you know, combination of art and a science, and you build that muscle if you continue doing that. But if you don't interview a lot, it's very hard to master. So from your perspective, how do you prepare the both sides? How do you prepare the candidate? How do you prepare the hiring manager for that very first interview? What helps you increase your batting average when it comes to that, setting the right expectations and making sure that first experience is, you know, is at another level?
Yes, great question. So, you know, remember in the beginning of our call here today, I said that we really strive to become an extension of our clients. And I think as a staffing company, as a successful staffing company, if you don't know your client, you really don't have a leverage with them and with the candidates that you're working with. Candidates want to know that you're educated about your clients, that you know about the initiatives, that you know, what are the, you know, what are the positives? What are the, you know, what are the things that makes it important to the candidates? What is it that they need to know? What are the things that they want to know? Why is it that, you know, what is important about this job that makes me want to leave the current job that I have? So I think that for us, we become, we're, you know, we're client obsessed here, where we really go deep in our clients to understand their pain points, their challenges, understand what they're trying to achieve. So once you have that information, it becomes very easier for you to prep the candidates, because now, you know, we've talked to the candidates, we understand what's important to them, the next opportunity they're looking for, what are the most three things they're looking for. So if we, because we've worked extensively with our clients, now you know how to, you know, how to present the opportunity the right way. For the clients, I think when we present the candidate, it's the same thing. We've taken our time to speak with the candidates. Now we can go back to our clients and say, this is what our candidates is looking for, and I think he would be a perfect fit for this role because of X, Y, and Z. So if you just, you know, a lot of candidates, they're so honestly sick and tired of staffing companies just calling them and say, hey, I'm looking for a .NET developer. Do you have this skill set? How about going a little bit farther and understanding why is it that they're looking for, you know, for the next opportunity, what kind of culture they're looking for? It's all those little things, especially in this marketplace, that's going to help you secure that candidate because they, you know, these are important things on both sides.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, overall, some of the flaws that I see in this process is revolves around kind of focusing on the interview based on your past experience versus really focusing on what's the strength that's missing on our team and really going after that direction in terms of versus what is the lack of weakness that I can tolerate in that particular candidate. So that's very interesting. When it comes to, you know, just from innovation standpoint, obviously you're dealing with technology, it's you know, there's continuous innovation, the need for that. What type of strategies that really help you, you know, help your clients, your organizations that you partner with to build and foster that culture of innovation through exceptional candidates that you help them find?
Right. You know, I always like to say, right, you can't innovate without people. You need people, you need tools, you need technologies, but it really starts at the top with the right mindset, you know, with the people who are in charge and leading the organizations. And I think that everything has to be done with intentionality. If you're not intentional about bringing people to the table by, you know, by creating that environment, that place where they feel challenged to thrive, you're not going to innovate. But it starts with people. It's people from different backgrounds, people from different experiences, but also giving them an opportunity to fail, giving them an opportunity to, hey, this is, you know, creating programs. You can create programs around, hey, bring your ideas, and here is the process that we're going to follow. So for me, it's as simple as, you know, there's many things that can be said about innovation. I mean, I work with many clients that talk about digital transformation all the time. I mean, I've, you know, and analytics and so many other things. But again, it's allowing, you know, people to bring in their ideas and also make them feel heard. So, you know, these are some simple, but I think very, very important, because if you don't do that, then you're really not going to be able to see what those people are capable of adding to your organization. So.
What type of skills are you seeing in, you know, being in the most demand, especially in this current market, and which ones are very hard to find? The reason I ask this is because being in technology, I also, you know, some of our listeners are executives in the other side of the spectrum, are early stage career professionals that love hearing from the practitioners on the Ivy podcast. So in terms of choosing a particular career track or developing or investing further in certain skills, what type of recommendations would you have, or what are you seeing in the market as kind of when in terms of growth from a skill set perspective? Just talk to us a little bit from that standpoint.
Right. I mean, there's, you know, it's such a different market today than it was a year ago. But even before the pandemic, you know this, the marketplace was really hot for candidates. I mean, we, you know, employment was historically low. Honestly speaking, John, there are a need for every type of skill set out there, from architects to developers to, you know, UX, you know, experienced researchers and designers, a lot of UI development, a lot on the cybersecurity side, a lot on the architecture side. There is honestly a need for every skill set. I think that if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking about going to computer science, you know, degree, I mean, there's such a demand for every aspect of skill set. Companies are, they want to create, you know, new client experiences. They want to create new products. And that comes with development background or business analysis or architecture. There's the demand is for every skill set. As far as I can see, based on our clients' needs, we get here positions from every, I mean, in the entire IT spectrum. We work daily here. So I think the need is just out there for everything in the technology spectrum.
And to take that a little bit further, what type of trends are you most excited about, whether in technology or whether in staffing or talent acquisition? What are you researching? What are you projecting to be the next big thing?
So, you know, as you know, there's such a big movement about DEI, right? You know, diversity and equity and inclusion. I just love that companies are very intentional, more intentional about opening and giving a space and giving permission to people, for more people to come to the table, you know, with different backgrounds. I love to see that more people, especially women like me, are stepping up to the plate. They're creating and, you know, being these trailblazers for other women of color or, you know, different background and, you know, men as well. So that's one trend that I see, is that there's such a, you know, a conversation around diversity that now, finally, if I didn't feel qualified, all of a sudden now, you know, I saw merchants doing it. Well, I think I can do this too. So I think that really excites me. It's, you know, giving that opportunity and making people realize the potential that they have, and then, you know, opening doors for them. Another trend that I see is, as far as staffing companies go, there couldn't be a better time for staffing companies than now, because companies everywhere in America are struggling to find talent. And this is the opportunity that we have to maximize this business and actually partner with these companies, come together and say, hey, we can help you step up your projects. We can help you, you know, become, you know, your partner here in this space that you're really challenged right now. So it's such a crazy market right now. Companies need our help. So it's really, really great to see that we can actually maximize and capitalize and add a lot of value to these companies that rely on staffing companies like us. And as far as just companies in general, I just love to see that companies continue to innovate and move forward. I mean, the pandemic is not 100% over, but companies are not holding back. They have a ton of projects under their belt. They have a ton of initiatives, and they're keeping moving forward because they want to be ahead of the game, right? They want to be the first one to have that new product or whatever the case may be. So it's just, you know, it's a great world out there.
Right. No, those are great observations in terms of where the market is going and the different trends. The last segment of each episode, I love focus on the speaker and more specifically around what is your content diet? So what does Mirtas consumes on daily basis when it comes to staying ahead of the curve, keeping yourself, you know, up to date on all of the things that are happening in your industry? Share with us your sources of information.
Okay, sure. Great question. So, as a professional, you know, and a CEO, I love anything on leadership. John Maxwell is one of my favorites. I've read many of his books. I recently actually read The Leader's Greatest Return by John Maxwell. I listen to his podcast almost daily. As a leader of an organization that's still growing, a baby organization here, but, you know, as I've, you know, had coaches and leaders and, you know, from many different backgrounds, it's so important that you realize the leadership role that you have. And I think by investing in yourself and personally growing, right? I think personal growth is everything to a company, to an individual. One of our core values in our company is continuous improvement, because if you're not challenging yourself and challenging your team, you can't really grow. So for me personally, John Maxwell is one of my favorites. Another book that I read not too long ago that I absolutely love was The One Thing by Gary Keller, because it really helps you to focus on one thing to achieve and focus one at a time. And, but, you know, I'll share this with you. I am a mother of three. You know, I'm a wife. You know, I own a company. We have a ton of things going on. I think it's important for you to look at your life and say, okay, you know, in which area do I need help the most right now? Sometimes I feel like I may be failing as a mom, or maybe, you know, I'm having a challenge at work, you know, with one of my employees, and I need to, you know, tackle that differently. So I listen to different podcasts throughout the week in areas that I think I need the most. Right now, I'm actually reading the book, The Win, The Relationship, Not the Deal. This is a book by Casey Jacobs. He is a highly successful individual in the staffing business. So I just picked up this book a couple of weeks ago because it's more in my space. But again, I look at my life and I see, okay, what areas, where am I, you know, where do I need help right now? And I try to go to, you know, find those podcasts that can help me grow.
You just covered the last two questions that I typically ask afterwards. So you beat me to this, which I really appreciate, because the last segment is always, I ask for recommendation on the books, which those are great recommendations. And for our listeners, we'll make those titles available in the show notes as always. And then the last question is always any closing remarks, which you covered, I think, in a very efficient manner in terms of that advice, that recommendation for anyone that's either building a business or trying to succeed in a career, whatever the case may be. I think that was a very powerful message. So Mirtas, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. I personally learned quite a bit. And as always with all of my guests, what I love doing is another follow-up recording in about a year to see how much of change transpired. We revisit the conversation from a year ago and take a look at everything we've covered. Does that still make sense? Does that still apply? So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I had a great time here sharing my story. And again, I'm a person of big faith and seeing potential in other people. So I would love to encourage any women out there that may think that you're not enough or you may not be able to do something. Yes, you can. And yes, you will. There's so many things that are going for you. And sometimes you just need a little motivation and a little, you know, somebody right next to you to say, hey, go ahead, move forward with this because you can. So thank you for sharing my story. And I hope to continue this conversation with you a year from now.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.